And welcome in. It's another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm in a new seat this week. I'm Jay Adams, and I'm going to run this ship back in my captain's seat.
Matt Moore is off this week. He likes that seat.
So I'm going to take over for today. And so joining us, we are listening to the fans, and the fans want Morgan. So we've got Morgan Alverson here, our social media coordinator. And fresh off the golf course, it's DJ Shockley. How do we hit him?
Golf gear is really well.
I actually played with the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, Mr. Wes Durham, and Wes said he wants to come on the show.
Oh, anytime.
He said, you tell Matt and Jay I need to be on the show.
Yeah.
So I'll let them know when you come on the show.
We've had Arch on before, so we got to have the other half.
Wes was adamant about coming on the show, so I said, all right, I'll let the guys know. So we'll see, but play pretty good. Had some up and down shots. Had some that were terrible, terrible. And then I had some that were like, oh, I love this game.
But yeah,
more bad than good though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep it real.
You'd be better than me.
I don't know, Mark. I'm tough. So.
Gotta get you out on the golf course.
Yeah, I'm okay.
You like golf, Jay? You play golf at all?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You can. I bet you can bang it.
I can.
You can bang it.
But there's a but. Anything that's like 7 iron or below, I can't hit.
Really?
So 5 iron, 4 iron, 3 iron, I can't anything with that. So
you need a big drive.
And then I need a big drive, and I need to get within 150.
And then you're good.
And then I'm sometimes okay.
We got some golfers out there. I know we got some big golf. Everybody loves
got
golf,
to.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Cool.
So let's get into a kind of a big event. Last week.
Something happened?
A little bit. The NFL draft finished up, and we finally know who makes up the Atlanta Falcons rookie club for 2015. Overall thoughts. What do we think? I mean, man, it was a productive draft.
Morgan, what do you think?
I say A++.
A++.
I think it was great. Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of steals.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It seems to be the consensus.
Draft. And I think you also see Dan Quinn throughout it.
Definitely. Yes.
His influence.
Absolutely.
I was very excited about this draft. Once it ended, I looked at the overall grade of the draft and also looked at the guys that Coach Quinn and the staff actually drafted. And I said, wow, these are guys. I think the first three rounds, with Tevin Coleman in the third round, I thought all three guys had at least a first or second round grade. So to get a guy like Tevin Coleman in the third round, Jaden Collins with his length and everything, to get him in the second round. I thought this was a draft that was really, really good for what Coach Quinn and his staff wanted to do. I thought they really focused on key areas, especially getting Vic in that first pick in the eighth pick. Everybody talk about you need a pass rusher. He's that kind of guy. And then you got a DB, you got receivers, you got running back. I mean, you got a lot of key positions that you really need to fill. And I thought overall the type of guys they got and the quality of guys really fit what the Falcons want to do. So I thought it was a pretty great draft. But like you said, you never know until the lights come on. But first impressions was pretty good to me.
Yeah, and I love what you said about how you can see Dan Quinn throughout this draft, because, you know, you look at a guy like Jaylen Collins and, you know, there were some other interesting names on the board in the second round when the Falcons picked.
Yeah.
And this Collins kid comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's only had like 13 starts in his career. But you look at the prototypical size. I think he goes about 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah,
nice size. About 203.
Nice size.
Somewhere around there. I mean, if that's not the prototypical Dan Quinn cornerback, then I don't know what is.
And then you go back to what he had in Seattle.
Yep.
Sherman, pretty big guy. I mean, look at all the guys
Brandon Browner,
a
few years.
Big corner. And then also, you got to look at what's in his division.
Yeah.
Go look and see what Carolina did. You already know Tampa has two big receivers. Carolina just drafted another big receiver. So you gotta make sure you got guys who can withstand those big type of receivers that they're going to have in your division who you're going to see twice a week. So – like you said, these are guys that fit what they want to do. And Jaylen Collins, and you talk about guys who on the board at that time, and a lot of people were looking at Randy Gregory at that time saying, hey, we can have Vic Beasley on one side and Randy Gregory on one side. But I think they looked at what fit them best. Randy Gregory probably could fit the scheme with you know, the way he is, but I think Jaylen Collins with his size, and you look at his highlight, he fits what type of player Coach Quinn wants.
And here's what I love about the Jaylen Collins pick in particular is you talk about value and getting trade value. Well, you know, if you go back a couple of years, you picked up Desmond Trufant, you traded up to get Desmond Trufant in the first round. Then, you know, a guy that you were targeting in the first round falls to you in the second round in Robert Alford.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got first round talent in the second round.
Absolutely.
In Robert Alford. Then you go to this draft, and Jalen Collins, who some projected to be a late first rounder, you get him in the second round. Mm-hmm. So you've got first round talent at three cornerback positions now where you've spent 2 second rounders on them.
Easily. It's a great – I mean, Morgan, I know you look at it from a different point of view. It's, you know, I know socially you saw what everybody was saying. What were some of the things that people were saying
online? So there's the Gurley thing. A lot of people were wondering why the Falcons didn't get Gurley. A lot of Georgia fans, I know. And I'm a Georgia grad, but I think they said defense is our focus, and that's what we're going with. We need a pass rusher. We need defense, and that's where our focus is.
What I liked about what you just mentioned was about talking about Coach Quinn and said everybody talked about Gurley being there and the temptation of taking Gurley, of that, hey, this could be so big. It could put people in the stands with the new stadium, all that kind of stuff. But I like what Coach Quinn is trying to do. He's thinking about we need guys – who can fill major voids and that can help us. Not saying Gurley couldn't help us, but at the same time, we really, really needed this type of pick in Vic Beasley at this point in time. And you still were able to go back and get a first or second round grade in Tevin Coleman at running back. So you still filled that void that you needed.
Right. Exactly. And this is a hotly contested topic on Twitter. I know you've been weeding through a lot of that, and you know, still, I mean, the takes keep coming.
They do.
Hot and furious on this one topic here. And you know, I think you got to step back. If you're a Gurley fan, if you're a Georgia fan, if you're a Falcons fan, if you're all those three things and you're upset that the Falcons didn't take him, you have to step back a minute and you have to say, my organization, my franchise addressed a need that has been on the list for about 3-4 years now, okay? Ever since, a lot of people argue ever since John Abraham left, you know, the pass rush has been lacking. Okay, so you address that need. You also got a clear sign from the organization that, yes, if you draft Todd Gurley, jersey sales are going to skyrocket. Butts are going to be in the seats. You're going to do all that stuff. And I understand that stuff comes along with a player of this caliber. Mm-hmm. And it's tempting to go that route for those reasons, for many reasons. Gurley's a great player.
Yeah.
But you got a clear indication from the organization, we have a vision for how to turn this team around, and we're going to stick to it regardless of what happens.
Yeah. And I look at it as you talked about a popular pick. Gurley is the popular pick. You talk about all the stuff that goes with it. And then you also talk about a want. Gurley is a want. Now, I played at Georgia.
Sure.
Georgia grad. So we both, hey, that'd be awesome for the state. It'd be awesome for the Falcons. Right. It'd be, you know, idea. I would love to see him in the red and black, keeping the same colors. But in the day, it's all about what you need. Mm-hmm. And I thought Vic Beasley is what you need at the number 8 pick. And the Falcons stuck to it. And you said that vision, Coach Quinn and his staff were spot on. Mm-hmm. And talking to him, we got a chance to talk to him. Everybody got a chance to meet him. He came in. And you feel like he's going to be laser focused on getting to the quarterback. And that's what everybody wants. Coach Quinn talked about a guy who can not just get to the quarterback, but can change, you know, the mind frame of, hey, we gotta make sure we affect the quarterback. And that's what Coach Quinn talked about is, you know, sacks, they're big, but if we can get him off his spot, move him. And Vic Beasley's the guy, you watch over and over on film, he has that motor, he can get to him, and he has that energy level.
And from my perspective, you know, Beasley was a guy I didn't expect to be there all.
Yeah.
At number 8. I mean, the way the draft fell, and, you know, hat tip to the Jets who fell right into Leonard Williams, who I thought was the best player of the draft. I mean, the way things kind of fell there where, you know, you kind of felt like, okay, if Oakland does something kind of funky, things could go in a weird way. And that's really kind of what happened. I thought they made a great pick in Amari Cooper, but they could have gone Leonard Williams and you know, the defensive names could have come off the board a little faster. So with Beasley there, I was ecstatic. I think the other side of it is the type of person he is. And Morgan, I'll let you talk about, I mean, you got to hang out with him. You were in Chicago with him. You were with him moments after he was selected.
Yeah, we met him moments after he was selected and kind of followed him through. They have so much press to do after they're selected, and went through all that with him. And then we rode in the plane back to Atlanta and then did a bunch of stuff here, more press and meet more people. fantastic guy.
So Morgan, you got on Arthur's private plane, huh?
Yeah,
he's on a private jet. That's pretty cool.
Pretty good, huh?
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Good time.
It was fun. But he's a great kid, and I will say he is so happy to be here in Atlanta. This is where he wanted to be. He told someone in Chicago, he was doing media, I think it was for NFL Network. He said, when I was there at 8, I knew I was getting picked by them, and he was just so thrilled. This is where he wanted to be, his hometown.
You had a chance to meet him first, and then when he got here, I had a chance to sit down with him one-on-one. And the first thing I asked him was, dude, you had on the black shirt. I mean, you had on the red shirt. You had the red tie. You had the red on the lapel on your jacket. You knew it. And he confidently knew this is where I wanted to be.
His backup suit, his second suit,
had the red tie.
So he knew all the way.
He knew
that's what was going to happen. So, that's the impression. This is a guy who's really got his head screwed on straight. And I think. You know, you look at some of the pass rushers and the different guys available. You talk about the Randy Gregorys and the Shane Rays and the trials and tribulations that they went through during their draft process. And then you look at a guy like Vic Beasley, who maybe doesn't have some of the strikes that some of those guys have. I think you win in a lot of different areas there with him because this is a guy who has some hometown pride. I mean, talking about Todd Gurley, obviously the hometown kid, but I mean, so is Vic Beasley in
absolutely.
A lot of ways.
We got a couple of those on this list.
We really, really did. Grady
kids.
Jarrett. I mean, let's jump into that story.
Which part?
There's I couldn't believe when I started to get texts. Okay, we're moving up, and so I'm getting these texts. Okay, we're gonna move up in the fifth, and we move up, and then we take the name. And I'm like, oh, okay. I know this name. This is a good player, good solid player. Could be an impact player. And then the guy who's texted me, he goes, "It's crazy considering his house burned down last night."
Said
like,
what?
What?
Yeah. I remember. We were all sitting in the room. We were all sitting there watching the draft. And when you said that, we said his house got burned down last night.
Last night.
It was like we couldn't believe it.
We couldn't believe it. I had to confirm with my guy 3 times before I tweeted it.
Yeah.
Because it was just so unbelievable. Because at that same time, we're finding out that his father, oh, by the way, is Ring of Honor member Jesse Tuggle.
Yeah. Right.
And so, like, all these things are coming together for Grady Jarrett, and we're just like, I can't even believe this story right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that his house burned down the night before, and, you know, in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area.
In Conyers, I think.
In Conyers.
Yeah. Yep.
And the fact that he's selected by the Falcons and the fact that the organization jumped immediately to help him out and come to his aid and say, okay, we're going to take care of the clothes and all these other things. I mean, there's a lot of irreplaceable stuff that he lost, memorabilia, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the Falcons organization jumped to him immediately and said, we're going to help you take care of this.
Well, that's what you love about this organization. That's what you love about, you hear about Arthur Blank, you hear about his heart, and you hear about guys all in the community. You don't know how genuine that really is sometimes, being on the outside maybe.
Yeah.
And this is a true instance of he really cares, not only just about the community, he cares about his players. That's why guys love to come here and play for Arthur Blank, because you know from day one, he's going to take care of his players. He's going to make sure they're well taken care of. And here's an instance. They just drafted this guy, like you just mentioned. They just drafted this guy. And as soon as he hears about it, I'm talking with Kevin Winston, the player development, and he says he's on the phone with his mom. He's saying, all right, what do you need? What do you need? Where are you guys going to stay? Do you need food? Do you need water? Do you need clothes? We're going to send you X amount of dollars to go do this, do that. And this is 20, 30 minutes after he's been drafted, and it's an exciting time, but they're worried about the person. They're worried about the family. They're worried about making sure they're okay before you're worried about, hey, let's go celebrate. Let's go get this on this site or whatever. They're so worried about the person, and that's just a true statement of how this organization is made up from top to bottom, and it starts with Arthur Blank and what he really cares about these players, and it just makes you feel like this is a great place to be, and it's an outstanding place to be drafted to, especially with everything that happened to him. You talk about his house being burned down, and he wants to be excited, but at the same point, you know, he's lost a lot of stuff. Yeah. You know, his parents, his family,
home,
everything is in disarray. But the team you just drafted, they want you here. At the same time, they want you to feel good about where you're at. And that's an awesome feeling, man.
And I've got the chills just talking about this story, because just knowing that you're part of an organization that came to his aide so quickly. I mean, Arthur Blank sent his mother flowers
right.
this week. I mean, it's just it's an amazing story, and just absolutely proud to be part of an organization that jumped. I think as a Falcons fan, you have to feel really, really good about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, what a mix of emotions.
Yeah. I mean, what a day. What a 3 days for him.
Yeah.
For sure. And Thursday, you know, they'll report for rookie minicamp. So it's time to get rolling on that stuff.
You know, well, one thing, while we were talking about Grady Jarrett, who went in round five, we also got a chance to look at some of the other guys. We talked about Tevin Coleman,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, went in the third round. And I remember the first time I talked to him over the phone. He was like, you know, he knew Atlanta Falcons, everybody knows, but he's like, I'm not sure who they have. I'm not sure what they got going on. But he said, I want a starting spot. This is a guy that's hungry. This is a guy that you know from day one is going to come in and give you everything he got because he's really excited about the opportunity to play in the National Football League. And he's not holding back. I mean, he's not saying it between his boys or his family. He said, hey, I'm putting it out there. I want to be the guy. And you got to love a guy who's coming in here with that kind of passion, that kind of energy. You know, Grady Jarrett's going to come with that same. Vic Beasley coming in here with number eight, a lot of expectations. He's going to have a lot to prove. Jalen Collins coming in, you know, as a second-round guy. But you got Alford. You got Trufant. You got other guys who's already proven. He's going to come in and prove that. You got a lot of guys coming in here with kind of a chip on their shoulder saying, I got to prove myself. College is over with. That's done. And I think all those guys got the gist that this is a whole new realm of what I'm coming into, and it's an honor to be selected by the Atlanta Falcons. I'm coming here, and I'm going to prove it from day one.
Yeah, as much as you celebrate the fact that you're drafted and that you've realized your dream of making it to the NFL, there is so much more work to do right after that, and you've got to do it quick. Because like I said, so you're going from Sunday or Saturday or Friday or Thursday or whatever day you were drafted, and you're going right into the following Thursday, you got to report for camp. And let me tell you something. When these coaches get these guys on the field, they don't care where you were drafted. They're still going to yell at you the same exact way. I mean, I've witnessed a couple of rookie mini camps in it. A lot of times you wonder if these guys have ever seen a football before, because it's just all these guys that are coming together. Their heads are swimming. They're certainly intimidated. And you know, it's a kind of a crazy situation for them to be in. But it's really amazing to watch. And if anybody here is, and I know we're closed to the public, but you'll see it as well. Yeah. From Friday to Sunday, the difference between Friday's practice and Sunday's practice is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's because they work them extremely hard. And
I remember my first rookie minicamp coming in, and they threw so much at us. They want to see what you can comprehend, what can you do out there? And at quarterback, it was totally different than probably any other position. You had to know what everybody was doing. They expect you to call the play, go out, and they complete the pass and read defense. I mean, it was so much to go into just that position. But everybody had a lot going on. The one thing that I heard about Coach Quinn is even when the veterans came in, he didn't throw a lot at them. He wanted to be simplistic for them and say, hey, I'm going to give these guys a little bit here and there. We want to see what these guys can do. And that's kind of – I feel like he's going to do the same thing for the rookies is – I want to see what these guys can do once they get here. They're going to have other rookies around them. I was going to have maybe a couple second-year guys come out and, you know, be a part of the camp as well. But he wants to see exactly what these, you know, young kids are about when they get into their system. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see. Guys are going to be trying to do too much because, hey, I got to show Coach, hey, I'm worthy of being drafted by you guys. And
yep.
But like you said, it depends on going from Friday to Sunday. Our guys relax a little bit more and say, okay, I can play on this level.
Sure.
You know, I can do it. You learn a little bit more of the offense or defense or special teams, and you say, okay, I'm a little bit more comfortable now, but you see a big change from Friday to Sunday, like you just mentioned.
And then you go from that, and you get these guys on the field with the other veterans in OTAs, and then we're talking about a completely different ball of wax.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, first of it is you got to get over the shock of I'm playing in the National Football League with – just last year, I'm watching these guys play on Monday Night Football. I'm watching these guys on Sunday night. I remember my first time I walked into Flowery Branch, first time I walked into the facility, the first guy I walked by is Michael Vick. The first guy. And I'm like, you know, are you serious? I mean, I just left Georgia. I'm coming in here, and I'm not just walking by, okay, he's a quarterback on the team. I'm walking by the guy who is like the face of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's up, man? What's up, man? How you doing? I'm DJ. You know, I was like, this is Michael Vick, you know? I mean, he's, you know, everybody looks up to Michael Vick, and I was like, this is pretty cool. So I think the first part of his guys got to get over that initial shock of, oh, man, this is so, this is so-and-so. And then you get on the field, and you move, and you run around, you kind of get in the gist of it, and you forget about it, and you say, hey, these guys are just like me, and you run around, you have a good time. But I think that first part is the initial shock of playing with those guys, and after a while, you know, after a couple, you know, 20, 30 minutes, you get into the groove of practice, and you say, hey, I actually belong out of here, so it's pretty cool.
You know, it was really funny. I when Tony Gonzalez was here, I used to watch how, like, the rookies would respond to Tony Gonzalez, because I know I would be like,
come on, I mean, completely, you have to.
Like, I'm on the same field with Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, you have to.
I did insane. That, and I was just
on that one. I mean, it's the respect factor that you get, yeah. That Tony Gonzalez, I mean, come on. I mean, you can't even, you don't even think about the accolades that he's done, but you just look at his success, you look at what he's done, and you just have to look at him like, wow. You know what I mean, you have to give him that kind of respect. It's not like a awe factor of, oh my God, this is so and so. It's like, wow, man, you know, this is greatness, man. This is somebody who anybody would love. Like you said, you don't even play football, but you're like, that's Tony Gonzalez. Yeah. Like, that's just how it is sometimes, and it's not just a, you know, slobbering effect. It's just, you respect that guy so much for what he's done, that you say, this is pretty cool, man. This is pretty cool to be on the same field and environment with a guy like that.
That's absolutely your teammate now.
Yeah.
Well, I wanna recap real quick our mock draft from last week, because it was a huge embarrassing failure.
Can I just point out, I was not part of that.
You were not part of that. So Morgan, you were completely reprieved, and you can make fun of mostly me, because I pushed us, myself and Mookie, Matt Moore, pushed us in a certain direction away from DJ Shockley, who was clearly much more educated than we were on this subject. Now, I'll let you go ahead. You know what pick I'm talking about. What were we saying? We were saying we got to the Jags. We agreed on one. We agreed on two.
Yeah.
And we got to the Jags.
Yeah.
And you said,
he's not going to be there, man. I said, Fowler's the guy, man.
Yeah.
They're going to take it. I said, yeah, I mean, you can't pass him. I said, this, the only way they don't take him is if the Falcons go all the way up to get him.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, Fowler's gone.
Yeah, and Matt Moore sat here and he said, you know what, I'm feeling Leonard Williams. And I was like, you know what, let me get on that bandwagon, Leonard Williams. And that's where it really fell apart for us.
I'm not going to lie either. You guys talked me out of Amari Cooper. You guys are talking a lot about the guy from West Virginia, right?
Kevin White.
Because
he was faster.
Yes, you guys, like, he's faster, he's bigger, he's blowing up. I was like, you know what? You guys might be right.
We thought we had the Raiders pegged there.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
The more I thought about it, I said, you know what? Amari Cooper is like the more like polished receiver. He's, you know, peer pressure got me.
Yeah.
I admit it, they got me.
So we had Williams going at the Jags, the Raiders taking White. Redskins, we had taken Fowler. They took Brandon Sheriff. The Jets taking Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
They ended up with Leonard Williams. The Bears taking Shelton, and they took Kevin White. And then the Falcons took Vic Beasley, but we had them taking Randy Gregory, who, by the way, did not get taken until number 60 overall. So this is what happens when you mock the draft. And anything can happen. I have a lot of respect for people who put their reputations on the line by coming up with like one of these a week during drafts.
Well, here's the thing. We overthought it.
Sure we did.
We said there's no way the draft will just go as everybody think it should go.
Right.
Guys should get drafted 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's exactly how it went.
Yeah.
There weren't any big trades. Nobody jumped up. It was all – it just fall, exactly. High fall.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how we just overthought it and thought, it can't just be that easy. That's what we said. It can't be that easy.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Would you have gone with DJ if you were sitting in my spot? Would you have gone with DJ?
I always go with DJ.
So you might have had a better mock draft had I not been part of the Falcon Cast podcast last week. So we got 2.5 right. And Bosek,
technically,
remind me how we got 0.5?
You got 0.5 because Matt wanted half a point if Cooper went to round 4.
That's right.
And then he also wanted half a point if Fowler went in round 8. And only one of those happened.
So technically, you only got two.
Technically, you only got two, which were the two easiest of the whole draft.
Not really. I mean, anything could have happened.
I had not noticed.
Bosek, anything could have happened.
I had not noticed that. You are absolutely correct.
Come on, Bosek. Don't make it sound that bad.
So, for those of you out there who wonder why we don't do a whole lot of mock drafts, this is exactly why. Because we're really, really bad at them. So, there you go.
That's why there's no GM or head coach in our future.
Right, exactly. Right. But we own up to our
no doubt.
Huge embarrassing failure.
No doubt. All
right, so let's take it over to Break with Bosek.
All right.
It's Break with Bosek's Brian Bosek here.
Brian, what's up, Brian?
Howdy. All right, so.
Hey, who's that guy over there? Some random guy over there.
Guy on the couch hanging out.
Just chilling. It's a chair, not a couch.
He got his ring on. He's looking
over. It's a couchy chair, though. He does. He's got a state championship ring.
He does got a state ring. All right, so what player from any team in this draft are you most looking forward to watch out in the next season, in the NFL season?
That's a good question. Good question. Not Vic Beasley. We can't say Vic Beasley, right?
Yeah, not
somebody else.
No Falcons.
Somebody else other than Vic Beasley.
Somebody else.
Because we all want to see Vic Beasley. We already know that.
My pick is going to be predictable.
Go ahead with it.
I really just want to see what Gurley does on an NFL field. I'm a huge fan of his.
On a turf NFL field.
And I think.
On a turf NFL, yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Both sick.
But I just want to see him out there and see how he does. Huge fan of his. Great player. Great kid.
I just wonder when he's actually going to play.
Oh, I think he'd be ready to go week one.
You think week one?
I think he'd be ready to go week one. I saw him a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me everything was going great. He was feeling good. So I think, what is this? This is May?
End of
May.
It's May.
Yeah, 1st of May. Yeah.
May 5th.
So May 5th.
May 5th.
Today, but they won't be seeing it until 7th.
Who knows?
It's May 7th, but, as far as you know.
It's May 7th, yeah. That's what I meant. Both like, edit that, yeah. But, yeah, I think he has plenty of time, and I think Cole Fisher said, hey, we're not going to rush him. We're going to make sure he's fully ready to go. And I think these days ACLs and all that, guys get back. Technology is so crazy. Yeah. They'll make sure he's back and ready to go.
And he's going to push himself and do what it takes.
But what about a torn ACL on a turf field? That doesn't help it, does it, DJ?
You know what? The way the fields are made now, I think even though it's a turf field, the stuff that's under the turf is created a little bit different than it was maybe a couple of years ago. So it's a little bit more give than what it usually was. So I think he'll be back to probably 100% pretty good.
Is that your choice too, Todd Gurley?
No.
Who we got for you?
I'll let Morgan have that. You know what? I'm very interested to see what happens at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
One and two.
Yeah.
One and two. To see what kind of career both those guys have. Mm-hmm. I mean – because right now they're so closely linked, two Heisman Trophy guys, first and second get picked. They're gonna see each other week one. Hopefully both of them start. They see each
How
other
did
week
they know?
One.
They scheduled that on purpose.
That's awesome.
They knew.
It's gonna be great, but to see how differently they play, but how closely they were, you know, connected to each other, to see how their careers go, to see if one has more success than another. I know they're trying to put a lot of guys around Jameis and Tampa. It'll be interesting to see how those guys' career pans out. I'm looking forward to see what happens in their rookie year, who has the better year. Mm-hmm. And everybody talked about Mariota being in that spread system, and, you know, he didn't really read defense to go from third read to fourth read. I'm really interested to see how he does in his first year. I mean, he's going to play, obviously. He has to play. And how James fares. I mean, obviously we get to see him up close and personal here in the NFC South. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys go out. How about you?
You know, I was going to go with Jameis Winston, and I think I'm going to stick there because he really is the guy who the spotlight's going to be on him this year. Mm-hmm. And especially us, like you mentioned, we're going to see him twice. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing how well he fits into the NFC South with a group of quarterbacks that is pretty good. I mean, you look at the records last year, and I know everybody made fun of the NFC South last year, but still very good quarterbacks there. He's got some great weapons there in Tampa Bay to work with. You know, he's with a familiar face now in Dirk Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what Dirk can do and some of the ways that he'll use him. But I'm interested. He's an interesting case for me because I think I'm in the minority on this, but I was always wondering, like, how he would be at the pro level. And I grew up, I follow Florida State. I guess if I had to identify myself with any college team, it would be Florida State because I just grew up watching him. And so looking at him in college, I recognize him being a great athlete and a great quarterback at the college level. I'm wanting to see how that translates over to the pro game because it is different.
Because it's totally different. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's a great player. But everybody at this level is a great athlete. Everybody at this level is a great player. Guys are smarter than they were in college.
Sure.
I mean, I think it was only three or four guys who are in FBS who threw less interceptions than him. So I wonder how that's going to transfer over with his learning curve, how fast he picks up the game. The game's a little bit faster.
Sure.
You know, him forcing the issue. I mean, there are corners out there who are really, really slick at what they do. It'll be interesting
to see. Two of them on our roster, too.
No doubt about it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with those two guys, especially Jameis as well.
What's your prediction? Who does better?
Ooh, Morgan. Ooh. Nice one. Nice one on the spot.
She's setting it up because I got a question for you.
Nice spot. You know what? I really believe that Mariota has a better rookie year. I believe Mariota has a rookie year, and I say that not just because of what stuff that Jameis is going through. I think Mariota's mentality is a little bit different than Jameis's, and I think not to say that Jameis won't put in the time. I think Mariota will do a little bit more, and mentally it'll put him ahead of the game.
I think
Mariota will have a better rookie year.
Time will tell.
We'll see. I hope so too, right?
Except against us when we play him. All right, Bosek. Here's the question for you, and I bring this to the entire panel here,
starting with Bosek,
including the guy on the couch. Oh. Okay, because this debate has raged.
Raged,
I say, on Twitter for what I deem to be months at this point. Okay. It's a question that needs to be answered. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg kind of thing. All right. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
You are not doing this.
Does it fall under the umbrella of sandwich?
No.
No.
If it's not, then what is it?
I would classify a burger as a sandwich.
So how is a hot dog any different?
Because hot dog's in a folding. It's connected. The bread's connected. Sandwich bread's not connected. Well, I guess
Subs are. We call it a pita sandwich. Pita's a sandwich.
No, it doesn't have any, like...
A hot dog doesn't have to have, nor does a hamburger have to have bread to eat it.
Boom. Question. A hot dog just refers to the meat.
Correct.
The hot dog.
Yes.
But do you say...
My son will not eat a hot dog with
bread. Can I get one hot dog with a bun? You're at the ballpark.
No.
One hot dog with a bun.
No.
You say, can I get two dogs?
So that makes it a sandwich?
Hey, but if you go to the store, if you go to Publix and say, where are the hot dogs, they're not going to show you the bread section.
No.
They're going to show you the meat section.
That's true.
But they may tell you you can get buns down on aisle 14.
Yeah, as an accessory to it.
Okay, but
an
let's
accessory. Start, yeah, because you have accessory to ketchup,
let's
mustard,
start,
onions, relish, all that is
Let's start from basics, though.
Bread is
basics.
Accessory.
Basics. What qualifies as a sandwich? What do you need to make a sandwich? One.
Bread.
Okay. Two.
Meat.
No,
boom.
No,
you want
peanut butter, jelly, whatever. It's something to go within.
Hey, doesn't meatloaf have meat and bread in it? You don't call that a sandwich.
You can make a meatloaf sandwich.
You can make a meatloaf sandwich.
Delicious meatloaf
Those
sandwich.
I know people who eat hot dogs without bread.
Yeah,
so that doesn't make it
a
sandwich. I see people who get just a hot dog and they will cut it up like they're eating a steak and eat it like that. Like a sausage.
This is an element I wasn't planned for. I'll tell you.
I'm right.
There are just as many people on my side of this. I know I'm in a room that's completely outnumbered. Those of you who are on my side on this, please feel free to tweet all these people in this room and tell them about why a hot dog is...
So you're saying hot dog is a sandwich.
It is absolutely a sandwich.
Have you ever looked up the definition of a sandwich? Because I pulled it up.
On what?
Get him right, Bosek.
Sandwich, a noun, an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them, eaten as a light meal. Quote, a ham sandwich.
So a hot dog bun is not two pieces, it's one.
It could be two pieces. What happens if the middle breaks apart?
It's one. It started as one.
Broken.
It started as one.
It doesn't. So then a pita is not a sandwich.
What happens if a sandwich bread, or a sandwich, the one bread breaks into two, then you have three pieces of bread?
I don't know. I think you guys are getting way too. I think this debate will never end, and I'm sorry that I brought it here to the FalconCast stage because it's going to continue to rage on with this group.
It's a rage on because I do not agree that it's a sandwich.
So we got no sandwich, no sandwich, no sandwich,
no sandwich.
You're all alone.
Way outnumbered.
Solo.
When I think hot dog, that's what comes to mind.
Okay, so what is a hot dog then? A hot dog. Okay, so it's the only food out there.
An encased meat. That's what it is.
Jay, I put it like this. If you're hungry, we walk in a room, everybody says, hey, Jay, you want a sandwich? Your first thought is not going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a hot dog. Let me get a hot dog. You're not going to think that. You're not going to think that.
Yeah, I would love
you're not going to put hot dog. Hot dog, you're not going to put a hot dog in the sandwich category.
It doesn't matter what I first think of.
This is too much.
It doesn't matter what I first think of. What truly matters here is what are the basics that make up a sandwich?
What truly matters is I can't believe
it's bread and something between it.
You
guys are looking up all kinds of propaganda.
You brought it up, so you're going to bring it up.
No, I know. That's fine. What do we got?
A Frankfurter, especially one served hot in a long, soft roll and topped with various condiments. He's ordering a hot dog.
Served in a roll.
A roll.
A hot dog.
Key part.
Roll.
How is that not a sandwich? I don't see how that makes that adds to your argument. That does not add to your argument.
Will you guys text at Jake? Right now, text him right now and tell him sandwiches. It's not a sandwich. Not together.
You watch. The hot dog sandwich army is going to come out against all of you. You're all going to rue the day.
Text AJ Adams 78. Tell him. Hot dog's not a sandwich.
All right. Well, not a sandwich. This is going to be continued next week.
You're what?
I'm not coming.
We'll get Matt Morris. We'll get Matt Morris' thoughts on this as he returns
next
week.
We got to get all the Twitter messages. All the Twitter messages that say...
I'll pile them up,
and we're going to show them. Everybody's going to say, it's not a sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
Got it.
Cool. It's a sandwich. Bosek, no video of the week? What happened?
No video of the week. No good videos this week.
Bosek, who was your player?
Who's my player?
Yeah, who's your player?
Oh, yeah, who's your player?
Who's your player to watch out for?
See, I'm looking forward to Tevin Coleman, but he's a Falcon.
That's fine.
So I'm interested to see the battle between Tevin Coleman and my boy Devontae.
Nice.
Here we go more with the sandwich.
Really, you say here we go more. Can't take it.
I'm looking forward to that.
The guy on the couch is killing you right now.
It's just another hot dog definition that further proves my... Read it. A hot dog is a cooked sausage, traditionally grilled or steamed and served in a sliced bun as a sandwich.
There you go. As a sandwich.
That's wrong. That's terribly wrong right there. Whatever that is.
That didn't help our argument. I don't know why you brought that.
That was terrible.
You didn't read that.
How are you going to be on the hot dog team and you're going to bring up this right here?
Sometimes stand alone, folks. Jeez, I know it's scary sometimes, but stand alone for what you believe in.
Oh,
jeez. And that's going to do it for today.
Thanks for letting me join y'all.
Hot dog. Thanks for coming. And
Smile at the camera for the guys. There we go.
We'll maybe have Matt Moore back next week. Maybe not. Maybe we'll just keep you. Maybe I'll just tip over the microphone. And in any case, we'll be back next week.
Yep.
With more. Thank you for joining the Falcon Cast podcast.
Boop!
On AtlantaFalcons.com.
Boop! Bosek. Yeah.